I want to talk to Megan Cullen just before I do. I've spoken to Megan in the past on a number of occasions because she, in the past, has attempted to, and, you know, to give you a warning about this, she's tried to chop off one of her own fingers, and she's tried in the past with an axe because she has chronic pain. And it's just unbearable pain. 22-year-old Megan Cullen from Bantry, living with chronic pain. And she has in the past felt that she had no option but to perform a DIY amputation in the hope that it would bring some relief. Now, in the past, she's been rushed to the CUH, where the emergency department doctors patched her up. It's not as if she's been trying to get help. She says, to be honest, at this stage, I just want to take it off. Not the whole finger, just down to the second joint. And I can tell you that she has now cut off her right index finger. But let me just recap, okay? This is just a couple of minutes from... Is this my last interview with Megan? Last time we spoke. Have a listen to this.
When did you decide or come up with the idea that you were going to self-amputate?
That was 3 weeks ago. I decided that I've had enough. I've had enough of the pain. I've gone through Tramadol, Salbutamol. I'm currently on Valium to try and help me sleep. And nothing is working. I'm highly allergic to dairy products.
Were you prescribed Valium by your GP?
I was, yeah.
Right.
Because I don't sleep.
Did you say, is this the best course of action for me, Valium? Is there not another path that I could go down?
I've tried everything, absolutely everything.
So then you decided, listener beware, to Google how to amputate a finger.
Yeah.
Right. Tell me a little bit about that. Now, this is desperate. You're at desperation stakes at this stage.
Yeah. Everyone was like, "Meg, you're not going to do it." I said, "Look, I've just about had enough now. I've really had enough. I can't sleep. I can't do it. I haven't worked because I work two jobs. I can work my full time job as a carer, so I can get around the house with that. But I work part time in the local supermarket, and because it means checkouts or internet shopping, I can't do it because you'd end up injuring yourself." So I said, right, I've had enough now. I want to go back to work. I want to start to have a life again. So I Googled how to do it, and everyone says that if you chop it off with an axe, you actually get rid of the fingers. So I duct taped down my good fingers so I couldn't hit them, and I tied a tourniquet on it with a bobble, hair bobble.
Tourniquet is cutting off the blood supply with what, string?
A bobble, a hair bobble.
Very tight?
Very tight. And like at this point I was in agony, but in my head I was saying it's going to come off, it's going to be better. I iced it to try and numb it, and I washed the axe, I soaked the axe in Dettol, and I brought out a tea towel, and I put my axe, we have a giant log outside, and I put my finger on it. And
Were you alone?
No, my mother was in the house, I just didn't tell her.
She didn't know. She'd have stopped you very fast, I can tell you. So you didn't have anyone with you witnessing this, okay?
No. So I swung the axe, and unfortunately, I actually have wire inside my finger where the top joint is, and I missed. I hit the wire, so it went through to the bone, but it didn't cut through the bone because I hit the wire, and it flung back out.
Okay, and again, I did say, listener, beware with regards to this. Megan joins me by phone. Megan, good morning.
Good morning, Neil, and how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Now, I think you were about 22 then. That was some years back, so you're a few years older. But just let me say, as the backstory to this, you originally injured the finger when you caught it in the car door, wasn't it?
Yeah, nearly 8 years ago.
Okay,
now.
And I heard there, you just reminded us of the Tramadol, the Salbutamol, the Valium. Were you getting pain-blocking injections as well?
I was, but they weren't working. They were making it worse. Instantly worse, and the ones that I needed, they told me was out of stock, and they're not going to get them back in.
Okay, so they didn't work. Nothing worked. No, did you get
nothing? Everything made it worse.
Right, and if you banged it off anything or touched it off anything, the pain would be chronic.
That was me for the day. I'd just be crying. You have to take more medication. It was just the day was over.
Okay, and did you go and see surgeons and talk to consultants, or maybe even go and get some counselling on it? I mean.
I got to counselling, I went to see the surgeons, it turns out I had PRPS, I was not told, and they performed two operations.
You had
I
what?
I wasn't told.
You were told
PRPS. Chronic regional pain syndrome.
Okay,
it's in your condition.
A 24-hour a day condition, 24-7?
Yeah.
But that it was in your mind, was it?
No, it's not to do with your mind. It's when, the best way a surgeon explained to me is my nerves were drunk and they couldn't get back. So they didn't know where to go back, so they were just causing me pain because they didn't know where to go.
Okay, so would a, again, listener beware, would an amputation surgically not have fixed that?
I asked, I looked it up, I went on to an amputee site in England. I said, has anybody got the RPS and got a limb amputated? I got loads back. I said, can I send that to my surgeon? They said, of course you can. I got to, I never get a right, a psychologist, psychiatrist to say that he reviewed me and he says, look, her plea for amputation isn't to do with any mental, it's reasonable application. And they told me no. I said, why wasn't I informed it's the RPS and you operated? I would, it instantly makes it worse. I woke up worse twice.
So why didn't you go to the UK then and have the surgical?
You have to fundraise. There's a lot of fundraising. You have to find a doctor who will listen. Do you know, it's very easy when you're over there. It's not easy when you're in Ireland.
Okay, so you've been dealing with 24/7 pain every day, every night. It's clearly the Valium is to help you relax and sleep,
that,
right?
That's gone. I was on even more stuff than that.
What else were you on?
I went on higher and higher stuff. I went on to morphine, morphine patches, morphine tablets, sleeping tablets, antidepressants, everything you could think of, I was on, and I still wasn't sleeping. And the pain just stopped it from crying in a corner, the painkillers. It was still agony. It was still 10 out of 10 every day, but it just stopped you from crying in a corner and ruined the whole day.
Okay, so bring me up to date. What's just happened now in the last few days?
So on Friday, I had enough. I planned it for about a week and made sure my dad shopping in. She had no idea. And I'm not saying exactly how I did it. I don't want people doing what I did.
I know how you did it, but you don't want to say.
No. Okay. I tied a tourniquet again, but I used a tie wrap. I made sure that the thing that I used was Dettoled. I made sure I was Dettoled. And I took it off. I screamed. I called for my mother to call the ambulance. I threw my finger away so they could not grab it and try and sew it back on.
Oh my God! I don't believe
it. Anyway.
Hang on a second. Just slow down. What?
Yeah.
Wait a second. So you did it, right?
I did it.
This may sound stupid, but was it very painful? Did you not stop in the middle of it or anything?
No. They don't know how. Even in the CUH, she said, I don't know how I did such a clean cut. I got rid of it. I threw it in the bin. I made sure it was nowhere to be seen. The ambulance had to come to Castletown there, so we were waiting about 45 minutes. It wasn't bleeding because I had the tourniquet. And I sat there and had a fag, and Ma was like, oh my God. And he's like, are you okay? I said, I have no pain. I said, I actually have no pain. And we just sat there and we chatted. The ambulance man came. I was brought up to the CUH. And ever since, I've been brilliant.
Wow. No pain now.
Yeah.
All gone.
Well, I have a little bit. Obviously, I chopped off my own finger, so it's not painless. But I haven't taken any painkillers. I was offered. I refused them all. I said, I'm grand. I just keep it up because it's, you know, a bit poundy. And it's great.
What about infection, though? I mean, clearly you're in the right hands if you've got, you know.
Yeah. Everything was Dettoled. My finger was Dettoled. The thing was Dettoled. They gave me antibiotics when I got there. I'm still on antibiotics. I made sure everything was done as safe as a person can do it. And
so whatever pain you have now is the pain from losing the finger, not the pain from previous to that, is it?
Exactly. It's a new pain, but it's a manageable pain. Yeah.
And did anybody criticize you about what you did or say it was a silly or foolish thing?
Well, it's not that it was silly or foolish. I'm the first person ever to do what I did, to do it properly, to do it so cleanly. Do you know, everything was monitored and I made sure I did everything nearly as good as I could get. I was assessed many times, I still have to be, but they just figured out that it wasn't to do with, I wasn't insane. I did it for a viable reason. No one would listen, no surgeon would listen. I offered, I begged, I said I'd sign a thing to say it's my fault if it goes wrong. No one would listen, so I said, fine, if you're not going to listen, I'll listen to myself.
Because they were saying it was in your head, was it?
It was. They operated twice and made it worse.
That's
so
right,
even though they didn't tell me the full lot, they were going, well, if I operate a third time, and it makes it even worse. But I did the research. I knew what had to be done. And I said, I will sign something to say, if it goes wrong, it's my fault. I won't come back on you. And they still refused.
But you know how, let's say if it, I'm not saying that it was, right? But let's say if it all was in your head, that it was psychosomatic or whatever, then you get rid of the finger and now you've convinced yourself in your head that it's gone. You know, that it's your brain was controlling this.
I completely, no, I went to doctors, I was in counselling, I was in open dialogue, that's brilliant. You know, I made sure I was assessed, because when this was all happening, I made sure that, you know, I went to a lot of counselling to make sure it wasn't in my head. know, I made sure that was confirmed and that, yes, it all was right, yeah. actually a finger.
No, I'm just saying, and it could have been mind over matter when you got rid of the finger
definitely.
Then everything, yeah.
No, and I did think that, but the fact that I didn't even know it was gone at one point, and I woke up with no pain. Do you know,
What's that like, actually getting to sleep now?
Oh, I couldn't sleep in the hospital, but I don't think anybody really can. I was saying to the nurses, I felt like running around doing a marathon, because it was the first time in nearly 8 years I have no pain. Do you know, I just feel like I'm in a bubble of brilliantness.
Bubble of brilliantness, that's the headline.
Yes. There you go. Do you know, it's amazing, and I would like answers why I wasn't listened to. I have been assessed and assessed and assessed. They said I did a brilliant job, it was clean, I got it operated on Sunday, I now have a little stump, it's all bandaged up, but it's amazing. I'm just...
Nobody wanted to try and retrieve it or reattach it or nothing like that?
Ambulance men were asking, where is it? And I said, it's not coming with me. I said, it's gone, and they said, are you sure? I said, I do not want that finger. So they said, that's grand, we'll bring you up. So I was brought up, I got a bed about 3:30 in the morning. I was assessed, I went to the plastic surgeons, and then I got the operation Sunday, and I woke up, and it was just amazing.
I mean, I get what you're saying about, you know, like, legitimate pain 24-7, and I believe you, because I've spoken to you on many occasions on this, so, you know, I'm not medically orientated or anything like that, but I believe what you're saying, you know, I really do. But there would be those that would say that you ended up taking up an awful lot of other people's time, particularly in the hospital, plastic surgeons, all this kind of thing. And that it was selfish.
It was, but I even said to the nurse, if I knew how to sew it up myself, I wouldn't have gone to the hospital. Do you know, what about the doctors that wasted all my time bringing me in, performing surgeries, not giving me the full risk, not listening, shouting, screaming at us for hours on end? They've wasted my time, and the nurses didn't mind. They were brilliant nurses. They were all very curious as to how I did it so good. And I apologised, and they said, don't worry, there's someone like you, you need the hospital because of what you've done.
Yes, yeah. They're not there to judge, just to look after you. Yeah.
No, we were having all a great laugh, and they were absolute brilliant nurses. You know, we were all chatting, and they were just saying, are you okay? So I've never felt better.
Okay, well, it's gone. And you don't miss it.
I don't miss it, no. It's all that I look at it, excuse me, and I have 3 fingers. But for something that was so painful, I said to myself, I'm turning 26 next month, and I am not turning 26 with this finger. It's just not happening. So I had it all planned out. I did think that about the hospital and the ambulance. Do you know, someone else might need it. But then I thought, nearly eight years, I think it's time I need some help. Yeah. It needs to be sewn up. I said to the nurses, if I knew it sewed up myself, I wouldn't have gone in.
Yeah, yeah. And no last minute nerves back out? No, you just, you have to steel yourself for the moment? No?
I had a fag or two, and I was like, right, you have to do it. And then I heard Ma get up, and I thought, she can't see me do this. She doesn't know I'm doing this. She's not going to say it. Heard the loo flush, and I thought, right, that's it. Get it done.
What did she say when she heard what you'd done?
Am I okay? I said, I'm grand. Just call the ambulance. And she said, are you sure you're okay? She said, are you in any pain? I said, no. And that was it.
Okay.
Sat there and chatted.
Right. Okay. I wonder, is this the last chapter in your book? I don't know whether it is or not.
Well, like, it might take a year or so to get off all the medication and that, and, you know, to heal up and that, but I actually have a light at the end of the tunnel.
So you think your life is only starting now properly?
This is the start of it. I'm going to have a great birthday, and I'm just going to continue on from here.
All right. Okay. Who can argue with that? No pain.
There you go.
No pain.
No
who's
pain.
Who's to judge? You're the one that was living with the pain. No one else.
Exactly.
It's your body. You own it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No one would listen. Not one doctor would actually sit down and say, right, why do you want the amputation? Okay, what have you researched into? I gave them...
There's no crime. There's no crime committed here, so there's not?
No. It was myself. I made sure that I did it safely. I was assessed many times. They said it's the first person to come in that did it so safely.
Okay, what's it going to do? What are you going to do now in the short term, medium term, long term? You're your mother's full-time carer, so that's what you do.
Yeah, but it's grand. I'm used to one hand. I have to go back now Monday to get the bandages off and get it all checked, and just onwards and upwards from here.
First birthday
I'd like answers.
Yeah. Well, that's for another day. Like, let you get on with that with regards to getting answers from the different sections of your journey. When's your birthday?
The 9th of March.
Okay, so first pain-free birthday in a long, long time.
First pain-free birthday, yeah. I'll be 26. I'm now legally Megan Cullen. So I'm more than happy with myself now. It's going to be a great birthday.
Okay. Legally, Megan Cullen.
Legally, I changed my surname then before Christmas. It was my father's name and I wanted my mother's. So I'm legally Megan Cullen. So I'm more than happy now.
All right, girl. Brilliant birthday. All right. Well, do stay in touch. Happy birthday, albeit a little early, but I wish you well.
Thank you very much.
Stay in touch.
Great.
Let us know how life goes.
Day.
Cheers for now. Thanks, Megan.
Bye.
Bye. It's amazing. It's just an amazing story. Back after 11 on 1850 104 106.